This morning's scripture lesson comes first from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. Do not let the foreigner be joined to the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely separate me from his people." And do not let the eunuch say, "I am just a dry tree." For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And from the book of Matthew, the last few verses. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The final scripture lesson for today is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, the faithful beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, greets you. These are the only ones of the circumcision among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, the servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. For I testify for him that he has worked hard for you and for those of Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and Nympha, and the church in her house. And when this one has been read among you, have it read also in the church of Laodicea. And when you see that you read also the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, say that you complete the task that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this for you in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Let us pray. God, speak through your word and give us a heart and wisdom so that we will hear all the more moment to pray for Kate and for the ministry in Peru and for your ministries around the world. Speak through Kate, speak through myself. Use us to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome. Enough to have come early and during this high school time, she had a really great presentation. So, that it wouldn't be entirely repetitive for those of you that heard it earlier, we thought we'd do a little different format. We're going to look at Colossians, and as we look at the text, it's really about how to pray. How to pray for those in mission and the mission field. By the way, how many of you believe that we live, that you all live in a mission field? Are there people, the traditional one is there are those with a foreign culture that surrounds you? Maybe. Are those that really need to know more about God? Definitely. And do we have the opportunity to share? Most definitely. So we're all in a mission field, but we're going to look this morning about Kate and about praying for those in the mission field, which means about praying for ourselves and for others that are involved in mission. In Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now that word devote is kind of a cool word. It means to come nearby with strength. It's to come by with strength. Those of you that ever played football, they have the line, and they get together, and when the hype is called, one way or the other, you're pushing. And you're pushing together. You're pulling together. So it's a coming alongside with strength. Because it says come alongside with strength or devote yourselves to prayer, it's through prayer that we seek the strength of God, which is a category of ourselves, that we can all agree. We seek the strength of God through prayer to be with faith. And it says being watchful and thankful. When it says watchful, one of the words means is just stay awake. Sometimes we just learn to tune out that which is happening around us. Sometimes we tune out the evil that's happening around us. Or we tune out the opportunities that are happening around us. And when you're praying about this mission field, need to be seeking the opportunities that God will provide to do ministry. But because Kate's here, are there any concerns that you have with, as we start off, for Peru or where you're doing ministry that we can pray for?
Well, as an organization, the past few years we've seen some changes. Mostly within our ministry for abandoned boys. I mentioned it earlier, we have had some changes with the laws that govern or regulate how a home, or homes like what we have, are how they operate. And because of laws that have changed and that have become into place, we in particular are worried about finances to cover the positions that we need.
Okay, and there are other things you're worried about. I noticed that you showed pictures of a flood. Is that still?
Yes. This past few months has been the rainy season in the jungle, and it has been a particularly heavy rainy season. So a lot of the homes that were already prepared for high river levels that are already built up on stilts and high above the normal riverbed are completely flooded, and all you can see is at the top of the roof. So we definitely, as an organization,
mission, since we have ministries there, but just also the people of Peru are affected. I've been praying for the people there.
Okay, just for those of you that are keeping track of this, they have these new opportunities that are also challenges of ministering to people through the court system and social work system than just traditionally going to help people. Maybe funds for those that are seeking to position these needs and for those in flood conditions. Did I miss something out?
No, but there's another one I could ask for.
Would you like to know what the other one was?
A big part of my job is organizing and hosting the foreign volunteers, the work teams, like the 11 or so people that will come from this congregation in this area in a few months. For us, June, July, and August is a really busy time of year because we have anywhere from 2 to 5 different groups in the country at one time. Right in the process of getting all of that stuff organized and just making sure everything is set for a group when they come. But once the plans have already been made and figured out, it's still kind of up in the air because we deal a lot with transportation strikes and a group that missed their flight or little things like that. So any prayers about just a safe, enjoyable experience for the volunteers that are coming, but a sane summer for us that are working with them as we, you know, pick up, drop the team off at the airport, wait an hour, and pick up the next team. So just constantly go, go, go.
And that's a major part of your job?
Yes.
So we want to do pray for her as she prepares the mission teams like the ones we send from all across the country. But let's realize that as these teams come, these are opportunities for people to learn about mission, to get connected with mission, and realize that the Church of Jesus Christ is about mission.
Well,
what did you say?
That's how I got started with this. I went on one of these teams for 3 weeks. I was 15.
Last year. So 10, 11 years ago, going on teams, and she learned, you learned about the Peru, you learned the language. Well, where we're at, what do you think of that?
I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I love helping people, and I love working with people, and I love relationships, and building those relationships. So
what it says, being watchful and thankful. So some of the things you're thankful for are like relationships. Any other things?
I'm very thankful for the numerous years that I went on my own as just a volunteer for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months and developed relationships there with the Peruvian staff that I would come to work with and work alongside one day.
That helps because she's a translator. So we see this and we want to be praying for it, and particularly in the next few months as she is preparing for these work teams. And there's a lot of preparation and a lot of translation. Now it says, pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of God or proclaim that which God has revealed to us, Paul is saying, for which I am in chains, he says. Are there doors that need to open or opportunities we need to pray for?
Anywhere as a Christian organization, as an evangelical organization working in a predominantly Roman Catholic country, as an organization, we come into little roadblocks along the way, you know, trying to start a program and people in that area don't necessarily, they don't understand what, you know, see the need for it. Even just roadblocks within culture. Unfortunately, Peru is a very classist society, and you know, people that are better than somebody else on the ground or Brahmin don't tend to want to help them out very much. So sometimes just going out and showing that, you know, we're all one family, we're all the same, we're all, you know, if you're Christians, we're all one body of Christ. Little challenges like that.
It's a good thing we're not struggling with classes and different economic levels in our society that divide us. But it certainly is a prayer for us as well. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I said, so you're a translator. What are some of the challenges of being a translator?
Sometimes I have a really hard time getting up in front of a group of people like this, and which is translating. Usually it's the fear going into it, and then I do it, and it's fine. But perhaps sometimes people have some different words that aren't just common language, so it puts you on the spot.
Yeah, in the other rooms, you're talking about a medical team that came, and she was called to translate for a doctor, which someone pointed out was a single doctor. She did someone else, but tell us a bit about that difficulty.
In October of last year, we had a team of medical doctors and dentists and set up medical clinics in one of our homes. It's in the mountains, about 9 hours away from Lima. And for this particular region, the further you get out of the cities and into the provinces, many more people start to speak Quechua, which is the indigenous language of the Incas. It has nothing to do with Spanish. It's not related at all. But the further you get out of the city, the more you start to hear it. And especially with the older population, they were raised speaking Quechua. They spoke at home. They learned Spanish in school, and they kind of know Spanish, or, you know, they do a little bit, but they prefer to speak Quechua. So during this week, because we were in the mountains, we had a lot of elderly people come, and they didn't speak Spanish very well. But they preferred they were more comfortable speaking in Quechua. So I was paired up with a doctor. Sure. So we had a little team of translators. The patient would talk in Quechua to Edwin, who was 12 years old. He would translate from Quechua to Spanish to me. I would listen to what he was saying and translate it into English for the doctor. And that was one question. And then the doctor would have another question, and it would go from English to Spanish to Quechua to the patient.
support ministries, you support often those that are implementing different parts of the ministry. And that's a gift as well. Now it says, be wise in the way you act towards, the one translation says outsiders. Actually, in the Greek, it's those not yet in the door. Right? Or those that don't understand the gospel. So they use the door as entering into God. So they say, be careful towards those that are not yet in the door, essentially in Greek. Make the most of every opportunity. In the more traditional translations, that sometimes like King James, would say, redeem the time. It's somewhat akin to like trading in the market, like the stock market or day trading. When the iron is hot, you have to strike, so to speak, and you have to be very alert, looking for the opportunity. And I've never day traded and don't plan on it. I'm too faint-hearted for that. But timing is everything, and it's suggesting that to redeem the time. We need to find and look for the opportunities and do it. Now, by the way, you as a congregation have helped redeem the time for Kate. Do you realize that? You were significant in helping to raise funds for her so she could go over and do these ministries. And without you coming forward with the funds of support, some from the mission committee men, and much of it also from individuals, she wouldn't be out there. And so what you did, you were redeeming opportunities for her that we do together, and that's really important. Might as well get this question out of the way. Have you gotten all the support you need? It says, let your conversation be always full of grace. And I use the term grace there. It's not so much saying, well, it is in addition to saying full of agape. It's saying full of kindness and graciousness. And seasoned with salt. We'll come back to seasons with salt. But how important is it that you be full of grace or kindness if you have opportunities?
Very important. A lot of, as mentioned, the relationships that I have built. A lot of the kids we work with have had a really painful or a very sad past, and they're not the most trusting. So it usually takes a long time before you start to gain this child's trust. They see an adult and they think of what has happened to them in the past. I don't look like the person that might have done something wrong to them, it's still kind of like, well, you're an adult like them. What are you going to do to me? So it's a very slow process to gain somebody's trust to start having deep, meaningful conversations. But it's all in that beginning, working with them and talking with them with grace. I think I was in college. I took one of my classes, one of those tests to discover what your love language is. And without fail, my love language was touch. And it's so obvious when I got with them. It's just when I talk to a kid or see them in the morning or send them at night, it's always a hug and very tight hug. In the morning or at night, saying, "Have a sweet dream," so it's a slow process.
It's a bit of years. Do they need more grace or less?
More.
So if you're not grace, you should lose the opportunity.
Yeah.
Or at least delay it way down the road. And it's true for all of us. It's that season with salt. But just shut up because it's not just being salt like it says in the Sermon on the Mount. Seasoned with salt in the traditional, in the contemporary Greek of the time, and like to have some wit as part of the conversation, to have some humor. It was to challenge you not to take yourself so seriously that you're not taking the other person seriously enough. And we see how you do that. So that you may know how to answer everyone. So, can you answer everyone out here?
No.
Have you gotten better at answering the question of the boys?
Yeah. Every once in a while, a question will come up, and it's like a complete surprise.
So, do you pick it up?
No. No. We talk about it, and I figure out the answer. Do some research and talk about it again another time.
In some of these cases, it's been over 10 years, 11 years. And it's taking the time. I have shared with you before, how many of you are old enough to remember my son? You will remember that Matt Dillon is not the first, doesn't draw his gun first in the front seat. He's always beaten by the other. If it's not who draws his gun first, it's who aims and communicates clearly or shoots. And sometimes it's taking time to have the right answer. And that's one of the beauties about Kate. She is just continually gracious and continues to work on that. Now, I mentioned that she was in a support role of helping on a host of levels, as well as being support for the children themselves. And we know they choose support and do planning for everything and a lot of computer stuff. Who are some of the people that have supported you?
And there are a couple of people. One of the directors of one of our boys' homes in the jungle. His name is Jerry. I've known him for a couple of years now. He's become a really good friend. I've spent a lot of time up there at his house, and we work well together, but when I'm not there, we're still in constant contact, asking about how things are going at the house. But he has to ask me, how am I doing in Lima, or, what's next in my calendar. We're kind of, if I have questions or concerns about something, I think I was going to kind of switch way back and forth.
If you notice in the passage in Colossians, he mentions a whole bunch of names of his support. He mentions about the person who has church in their house, and that would be a woman's name.
Yeah.
And you mentioned another woman earlier.
I mentioned a woman named Rosa. She is one of the directors of another boys' home.
so to speak. And do you have fellow missionaries that you can share with?
Yes. In my department of the organization, it's called the International Relations. And as Pastor Dave said, our ministry is supporting the other five ministries of the organization. We don't have our own projects, we just partner with the other people that we work with. And yes, there are three of us. One being my boss, Billy Clark, who has come here a few years ago with his family.
And he is.
He's not. And then the other being another Billy, who works doing some of the things that I do.
In the scripture, it says, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received. But speaking of follow through, and just have a sense of this 10, 11 years of visits, and then a commitment to a ministry and that follow through makes all the difference in the world. Well, let's go to the table. When it speaks of seek to it that you complete or follow through on the ministry you have received, the word received is the same that the Apostle Paul uses when he says, I have received that which I give unto you. It comes to it means that God gives us something that He expects us to share. It goes on to say, like this reading to you in my own hand, remember my chains. Now, Paul gladly accepted the chains so that he could do the ministry. But didn't mean that he enjoyed them. Do you like hot days in the jungle? Without air conditioning?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, especially from people that come to the jungle and they're not used to 90-degree weather and 100% humidity and all that, and little mosquitoes and bugs everywhere. But I always tell them it is so worth it. Everything else that I need to do, and to see the smelling faces of the same kids every day is so worth putting up with the heat and the bug bites.
So Paul receives something. What I want you to realize, and we're going to do this a little differently. We're going to do this somewhat together. Our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, after he had given
thanks,
he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, after the same
manner,
he took the cup. He said, this cup